We're going to turn now to our interview. I have got Louise Dean from Thames in the studio. Good morning.
Good morning, Aaron.
So you are from Thames, are you?
Up the Thames coast. We're based in Thames.
In that area. So Louise did a talk for Science Night last night at the Harbourview Hotel about the Black Soldierfly Larvae Project. And this is the larvae of the fly, otherwise known as a maggot, probably.
Yep.
Yeah. Eats food waste or green waste and food waste?
Organic waste that's quite nutritious.
Nutritious organic waste. Not nutritious in the sense that we would like as a human being.
No.
But hoes through it really fast and produces useful products at the other end.
Yep.
And first of all, a black soldier fly sounds kind of scary. So let's, because it's called a soldier fly, and we like, and people, I think a lot of people's first thoughts is, are you importing this fly? Like, what is there any dangers around the fly? So should we deal with that first?
Yeah, that's a good suggestion. So the black soldier fly are naturalised in New Zealand. They're from the tropics, but they've been in New Zealand for quite a long time.
Does naturalised mean they sort of found their way here somehow?
Yes. Yeah. So probably on imports, I would imagine.
Okay. Right. So they're already here.
I can find them in my own compost bin. You might find them around here. In fact, somebody turned up last night with a picture of one that they'd found.
Yeah, in their compost. Yeah. To check.
Of the actual fly. So they're local here too.
Okay.
They eat a lot as maggots, but as adults they don't eat because they don't really have a mouth that's quite functional for eating.
Oh, okay.
So, and because they don't eat, they don't bother people or animals. They don't spread disease because they're not eating and flying.
Right, so all these flies that are coming in our houses at the moment because it's getting colder and landing on our heads and things like that because our head is warm, that's not something they do.
No, nothing like that. They don't bother. Occasionally see them on my kitchen window and they just sit there. As an adult, they'll live for maybe 5 days and they'll just mate. If they're female, they'll lay eggs and then they'll die.
Okay.
So very short-lived as adults.
So that's the... How long does a normal fly live, like the conventional house fly? I suppose you know that.
No.
You're all totally focused on this one fly. I can see. Yeah. So why have you chosen it? Why is this larvae good for what you're trying to do?
The reason it's so good is because they eat so fast and they'll eat such a range of different food waste.
Yeah.
And because maggots basically live in environments that are quite full of pathogens and diseases and things like that, they have they've adapted to deal with them. So they can actually reduce the pathogens in food waste. They can reduce the smell in food waste. They have antibiotic, antiseptic, and anti-inflammatory properties, which makes them really good for dealing with waste.
Wow, so they sound almost purpose designed.
Yeah, that's what they do. That's their natural job. So it's basically mimicking what nature does to clean up manures and food waste.
And they're very fast.
They are very fast. So in an organised, contained, heated system, because they're tropical insects, so in New Zealand they need heating, they can process food waste in as little as 8 to 14 days. Which is, so worms might take 6 months.
Right, okay, all right, that puts it in perspective. That is fast. And the thing I read and you said last night is that when you get up close, you can actually hear them eating. You've got a recording, we're going to try, we don't know, we didn't try this before we came on the air, I just thought of it now. But if we hold it up to the microphone, we'll see if we can hear it, and I'll maybe turn things up. This could be a gruesome, is this a gruesome sound?
Oh.
It stopped. Okay. There's a little bit of background kind of haze in there, but you could hear this little chomping sound.
Yeah, so. when you actually, if you put your head near the compost, I was so surprised when I could hear them eating when I first started looking at them.
Yeah, yeah.
How many they were, a big ball of maggots basically, and moving around, moving the food really fast, and you could hear them eating.
Yeah, and you had some videos last night, again slightly gruesome, but everyone there was up for it, so... That was good. So what was the purpose? Like you are part of the Seagull, is it called the Seagull Centre?
Yes, so Seagull Centre is a resource recovery park in Thames, similar to Extreme Zero Waste, but we don't do the transfer station. So okay. We collect things people would throw away and we sell them.
So there's the shop part of part of it. Yeah, yeah.
So we collect and sort and sell.
And so you, I guess you guys have been thinking about composting and dealing with food waste and things like that, as we have over here. So how did this happen? Did you just decide, okay, we're going to do this, we've got to research, or had you heard already about the black soldier fly?
We had on a plan a few years ago that, you know, phase three of our plan was to deal with the food waste.
Right.
And it kind of sort of hadn't quite worked out how, because we're in almost in the town.
Yeah.
So it's not so easy to just compost in the middle of a town.
Of smells and things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I after that went away and did a master's looking at what you might be able to do with cow manure and food waste.
Yeah.
And I ended up looking at the idea of using black soldier fly larvae to process the cow manure and decided they needed to be co-processed with food waste.
Yeah.
And when I finished my master's, I learned a lot. When I finished my master's, I'd come to the conclusion that it would be much easier to start with the food waste. And so I came back to the Seagull Centre, who I used to be on the board with,
yeah,
and approached them. And so they have supported me, and we've now got funding through the Waste Minimisation Fund from the Ministry for the Environment.
So you've been experimenting with how fast they, how much they can process and all sorts of things over the last sort of year or so, have you?
No, the last year and a half has been getting funding. It's a big, long process.
Okay, I understand about that. I run an organisation that relies on funding as well. So.
Yeah, so we have in the last month or so just started building the infrastructure. So we've got the site set up. We've got the first container almost ready to go. Hopefully in a week we'll be able to put some larvae in there.
All right, you're that close. So when you say you've got a container, that's like a shipping container.
Yeah.
And what happens inside there?
It's got heaters, a humidifier and a dehumidifier, and a lot of sensors, and it will keep the temperature and the climate just right for them to feed. And at the end of the, when they're getting towards the end of their feeding, it will dry the substrate off so that you can sieve it at the end, so you can separate out the larvae from the manure of the larvae, which we call frass.
Okay, and then so when you get to the larvae gets to the end, what is the end? Does it become, do you let it become a fly, or because then you would end up with a heck of a lot of flies, I imagine.
Yeah, good question. So we would keep 10% back to breed from,
yep,
and let them become a fly. So we would keep them as pupa, so they would pupate, flies would emerge, and they would breed. The rest, depending on the tests that we get done through environmental science research and on safety, could be fed to chickens. So we're starting with chickens, but you can actually feed them to chickens, pigs, fish, reptiles, zoo animals, birds. A lot of animals really like them, and they actually have good, because of their disease-reducing properties, they can actually be really healthy for animals.
Right, so all this antibiotic, anti-inflammatory stuff that you were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
So the animals that eat those maggots, that's actually good for them.
Yeah.
As gross as it sounds to us, but we all know about, well, we should all know about chickens and what they eat. They'll eat anything. And I've heard about, yeah, people doing things with carcasses of possums and things that creates maggots for their chickens, and away they go. You're talking about the safety issue. Like, what has to be tested for?
I think we have to test for pathogen levels, because food waste, any waste that sat around for a while, will have developed some diseases and things, yeah, that you don't really want to put into your environment or to feed to your animals. So by working with environmental science research and the University of Canterbury and probably other research agencies further down the track when we get a bit further on, we can check that the levels are safe, and there's no contaminants in there, and that they're safe to feed to animals, and that the frass is safe to use as a fertiliser.
So tell us what the frass is again.
So frass is the manure of the larvae.
Yeah.
It contains their poo, and it also has their exoskeletons, because they grow so much, and they have a skeleton on the outside. The skeletons repeatedly are cast off.
Yeah.
And they're full of something called chitin. They're made of chitin, and it's really good for disease resistance in plants.
Okay. They do sound like purpose designed, these.
Yeah, because that's what they do.
Yeah, these animals, I guess they're animals. Yeah, it does. But just they sound remarkably perfect for what we want to do. Are people doing this elsewhere?
Yeah, there's a lot of insect farming around the world. There's been a very small scale insect farming in New Zealand.
Yeah.
But we're hoping to, there's a lot of people working on it now at the different research agencies, Ag Research, Plant and Food Research, and ESR have all done research on soldier flies and feeding them to animals or their safety.
Yeah.
ESR has done research on feeding them biosolids, which is human waste, dried human waste.
Just for a sec, what is ESR?
Oh, Environmental Science Research.
Okay, so they're just a body
another research agency.
Another research agency. And feeding them on human waste.
Yeah.
Okay. And so
with food waste.
With food waste as a combo. So there's issues around there, aren't there?
Yeah. So under the regulations, you wouldn't be able to feed larvae that are fed on human waste to animals. They do in other parts of the world.
Yeah.
Where their regulations are not so strict, but we're unlikely to ever be allowed to do that. So there are things that you can do with the larvae, and we're looking at some of those. In some countries, they're using it for squashing the fat out and using it for biodiesel. Out of the maggots.
Out of the maggots. Okay, right. Yep.
And you can. There's been experiments here in New Zealand with making soap from the oils from the larvae.
And you had some soap last night.
Yeah, that was mealworm oil soap. It wasn't soldierfly larvae.
But it would be soap. Essentially the same?
Quite different properties. The okay. mealworm oil soap, the mealworm oil is very good as a moisturiser. It's full of lanoleic acid, like lanolin off sheep wool.
I think there's an ick factor that I can feel people out there listening going, I'm not sure about that. Like, but I guess all our soap is made out of stuff that we might be a little unaware of and not like that much.
Yeah, so a lot of soap is made out of animal fat.
Yeah.
In fact, tallow is probably a very good oil for soap, you know.
Yeah.
And there are environmental issues with using a lot of palm oil, which is one of the main oils used for soap.
Which we are aware of. Yeah, yeah. So I just interrupted something there. What were we talking about? The
Can't remember.
Something that ESR was doing, the research.
The ESR had done some research on the safety of the larvae and the frass after processing biosolids.
Yeah. So biosolids is a nice word for human waste.
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
And the University of Canterbury has got a product design department, and they're doing a lot of work looking at different things you can make or extract from the larvae and the frass. So that would be things like extracting the chitin, making soap.
Yeah.
Making facial cleansers. They're quite good. I've seen them. they've also made glue and like a glue board, like an MDF type board. It's a very strong glue. I don't know if you all remember when they used to make glue out of horses' hooves and that kind of thing.
Yeah, there must have been a few decades since they've done that, I imagine.
Yeah, they used to have a glue factory where I studied in Liverpool.
Okay, yeah. So I'm trying to... The regulations, is it just because of the ick factor that we don't like the idea? Is it because humans are so full of pharmaceuticals that there's problems there? Like what's the issue for the regulations?
The regulations, because there hasn't been much insect farming in New Zealand, there isn't really a set of regulations that are appropriate. So some of the regulations that apply are regulations that apply for selling animals because... I mean, technically maggots are animals, but it doesn't make sense to have the same, you know, don't need a NATE number for every maggot. So the regulations are not quite there yet.
Oh, so that's the issues. Rather than
it's
been outright banned for scientific reasons, it's because there isn't a facility to do it, really.
Not at the moment.
In the regulations.
Yeah, and other countries have different regulations. So Europe is just changing from not allowing larvae fed on post-consumer food waste to be fed to animals, but now that I think they're changing that because it makes sense to use these larvae to process things that you wouldn't feed to animals anyway. Like if you can feed the waste product to an animal anyway, why would you process it with the larvae?
Yeah,
it makes a lot more sense to feed them something that you're not going to feed directly to anything else anyway.
Yeah, yeah. So this is. Because you were talking about like where does our solid human waste end up anyway?
A lot of our human waste ends up in the landfill.
So even though right now in Raglan they're constructing a new wastewater treatment plant, and it's gonna the output that we've been discussing is it just looks like clean water.
Yeah.
Like the processing is so thorough now that it looks like clean water, and the engineer said if you added chlorine to it would be officially classed as potable water by the health department.
Ooh.
That's how clean it would be. Yeah. They're not going to do that. I just want to reassure people who are worried about that. That's not what they're planning to do. But if there's clear water coming out of one end, what happened to all the other stuff? And you're saying that goes into landfill somewhere.
Yeah, it's dried. Often they add plastics to it to make it solidish. And then it gets taken to landfill in a lot of places.
So it's not, again, it's not biodegrading.
No, it's not. Because which
it's the easiest thing in the world. Poo is the easiest thing in the world to, you know, biodegrade.
Yeah, and there are issues with putting it directly on land, and there's it's a lot of countries do spray it on the land, but we don't in New Zealand. But this might be an option for processing it in a way that might be acceptable to then put their frass onto the land.
Yeah, so it's already been it's another process.
Yeah,
in another step in the processing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also it costs a lot to dry the biosolids. You know, it uses an enormous amount of energy to dry those biosolids. So one thing the larvae do quite well is actually reduce the water content of what they're feeding on.
As well, because that becomes part of them, I guess.
Partly becomes part of them, but they actually create a lot of heat, so evaporates a lot of it off.
It's funny that this is not really what I meant to talk about, but just reflecting on the amount of effort and energy we go into to process human waste, there are people with composting toilets who do it on site, and that's the natural way that the ecosystem would normally process it, but we turn it into this very arduous sort of task, very expensive. In fact, we've been calculating the expense here at the radio recently about how much it's going to cost.
It's quite expensive. It's very hard to find out the exact figures, but it is quite
expensive. What the rate's going to go up by, you know, because the government's been telling all the councils they've got to upgrade the country's three water systems, and they've put all the costs on the ratepayer. So, yeah, we worked out that our targeted rate for wastewater is going to double over the next 9 years.
Yeah.
Because of that. And it was already very high. It was already around $1,700 or something a year.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so that's – whereas you've got a natural way of doing it, I presume – I'm sure no one is at the point where they could cost what it would do. You could do a whole town worth process with the larvae. Like, we're not in a position to do that. But you obviously think it's worth exploring.
Yeah. So the last – we've got funding for about 3 and a bit years, and the last year we'll be looking at the biosolids – and putting a system up, a pilot plant up in a wastewater treatment plant.
Yeah.
And working out what we can do to process the biosolids, what we need to put them with, because they'll need co-processing. The larvae like to feed on a range of feed.
Oh, yeah.
So not just a single feed.
So maybe some food waste or something.
Yeah. So it might be awesome agricultural. If there's an agricultural food waste source nearby, that would be quite handy, like, say, avocado skins or... we have mussel farm waste in our area.
So do they eat the shells?
They wouldn't eat the shells, but they would... there's two grades of mussel farm waste. There's mussel shell, and there's the sort of the gummy bit that glues the bit that you eat to the shell, and and the hold fast that holds it on the rocks, with a little bit of shell usually in it.
Yeah, okay. So you're about to start. So what are your plans? You're getting food waste from somewhere, and then... what are you doing with the product afterwards? Like, have you got all this worked out now?
Yes. Well, we've got it. We're trial. It's a trial, so we'll be testing some things out. Because there was already a food waste collection in Thames that goes to composting, we couldn't get the council food waste, so we are going for commercial and industrial food waste.
Yeah.
And agricultural, and then which does include some sort of household waste from places like schools and retirement villages, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But it also might include things like the mussel farm waste and agricultural waste.
Like commercial kitchens and...
Yeah, commercial kitchens as well, restaurants.
Okay, so there's plenty of that, I would say.
There's plenty of that, but the collection is quite complicated. It wasn't quite what we anticipated having to learn how to do.
Okay, yeah.
So that's a whole new area that we've had to sort of go into, is how do we collect?
Get a system for that.
Yeah. So there's a lot of different steps. But we've got a few years.
And so you're going to have how many of these shipping containers full of fly larvae will you have?
Okay, initially we're starting with one for breeding and two for rearing, and they'll be on the Seagull Centre in Thames. And then in the second year, because it makes sense to put the processing of the waste where the waste is, because waste is heavy, food waste is heavy, it's full of water, then we will put some containers on a different site and work out how we can process those containers in multiple locations.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
that's the freedom of doing it in a container-based system.
Because I imagine normally someone would go, okay, we're going to build a big plant and it's going to process everything in the area and it's located in one place. But you were saying last night, you can those shipping containers, you can ship them around.
Yeah.
Yeah, and put them close to source, I guess.
Yeah. So the ideal place is, you know, if we're going to process the mussel farm waste, is to have a container on the mussel processing site.
Yeah.
And find us a food waste source nearby that will complement that.
And so you've got a source for the larvae, and then what happens with the outputs? What are you planning to do with that?
Okay, so initially we'll start with looking at feeding live larvae to chickens, ideal for backyard chicken farmers. It's really high in protein and quite high in fat, so it could be the high protein proportion of your chicken food. The chickens love chasing after them because they move, and it teaches them good scratching behavior that chickens should know how to do.
Okay.
So that would be our first market. And we'll also be working with other research agencies to look at things like aquafeed. Okay. As we do more fish farming in New Zealand, it makes sense to have a local aquafeed, because currently aquafeed is often fish meal, and fish meal is hugely environmentally damaging and also takes food away from people.
And where does that come from?
A lot of it comes from the coast of Africa.
Of course.
I don't know what
the other side. Of course it comes from the other side of the world.
Yeah.
Why would it come from anywhere nearby? Yeah, okay. So they've got those outputs. So you did your master's in, I guess, the science of how the black soldier fly larvae processes.
No, I'm not a scientist.
No.
I have taught science, but only at quite a low level.
Okay.
I did it as a Masters of Applied Innovation. So I was looking at the big picture.
Right, okay.
Doing transdisciplinary research, because the science is just one step. You've got to find a lot of different things in place to make it work.
Well, that's what I was thinking. You're having to develop expertise in how to collect food waste from various businesses, and there's process, and I know Extreme has had to work out those processes themselves. That's just to start with. And then there's all the like the science of like these shipping containers that are basically processing units. There must be somebody working out how to do all that stuff as well.
We've gone for an external system.
Yeah.
And
I mean, someone else has designed it.
That somebody's designed in Finland. They do this process up at the edge of the Arctic Circle where it's really cold. And these are tropical flies, and they can operate them there. They have a lot of potato waste. They have a huge potato farming area, so they do process a lot of old potatoes. And potatoes are a good feed because it's got a lot of different nutrients in.
Okay. So what are your hopes, like really big picture, long term? What are you hoping will come out of this sort of pilot project?
I'm hoping we'll get an alternative way of processing food waste that allows us to keep the nutrients, and allows us to process food waste where it is. Because if we have severe weather events, certainly on the Coromandel, it's not unusual for us to lose all our roads at once.
Mm-hmm.
If you then have to, you're supposed to ship everything out of the area to the landfill, then it becomes impossible to do that. And as I'm sure every council knows, you know, waste build-up is a real issue.
Yeah, a week without your waste pickups in the town's looking really different.
Yeah, it's not so nice, eh?
Yeah.
So that's resilience is a big factor of it. But also greenhouse gas emissions, it would hugely reduce the greenhouse gas emissions from landfill.
Yeah.
And even compared to hot composting, has quite a lot of greenhouse gas emissions.
Yeah.
Whereas insects and invertebrates like worms and the flies actually have quite low greenhouse gas emissions.
Right. Okay. So that's another. This is what I keep thinking about. These fly larvae, like they're perfect thing. They solve so many problems all at one time. I guess your job is to figure out how to make it like a streamlined, efficient system, make it cost effective.
Yeah, so it's a lot of it is system, thinking about systems and how they fit together, because there's such a range of things. Like we'll have to think about marketing, we'll have to think about processing.
Yeah.
All these different aspects. So yeah. I talk to scientists who understand the science of it, and I can just about understand the science of it.
It's enough, yeah, because you've got to be multidisciplinary, don't
yeah.
you?
Like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that was hard to get that word out. I don't know why. So ultimately people are going to be asking you to compare costs. Like we have a horizontal food waste processing unit, horizontal compacting or compost unit here that Liz, who you talked to last night, has set up and run. So, and everyone knows the costs of that, and they've kind of refined that to a reasonable degree, and there's bigger versions of that around in different places. So I guess ultimately you might end up competing with systems like that in the eyes of the councils, because mm-hmm. they're always like, what's the cheapest way we can do this? Got to make the ratepayers' dollar go further. So I guess you're still a long way from that point.
We are, but when I was doing my my master's, because lockdown came right in the middle of my master's, I ended up working on computer modelling.
Yes.
And so I found out that I'm not very good with numbers, but by doing a computer modelling setup, I could set up a system where you could see what's going on and see the numbers change and how they change.
Okay.
So I did that to make an estimate of what the cost would be and what the potential earnings you could have. And I can use that system as we find out more information. I can feed the real information in and use that system to then project.
Okay, that's what great. Because it's like the ideas are awesome and everything's awesome, but then when you're dealing with councils, it's like, what's the bottom line? It's just like, and even it can be super fantastic. And well, I guess it's not ultimately about the bottom line. If the community cares that they want to solve these problems of greenhouse gases and retaining nutrients and not putting poo in landfill and things like that, or poo byproducts, then we should be prepared to spend the money. And I guess that's a whole debate as well, isn't it?
Yeah, but I mean, also we're spending a lot of money anyway. So
which we've been discovering. Yeah.
Yeah. And as you guys in this area know, that, you know, you can actually get a lot more value out of a social enterprise than you can necessarily by getting in a big overseas company to do the waste and take all the money away from the area. So some of it is how being creative about things like using a social enterprise where you do get multiple levels of value out of the process.
Yeah.
Whereas, and the money stays local, and that can make a massive difference. But for a council, they just need to make sure that waste goes away, because if the waste doesn't go away, nobody's going to like them.
Yeah, there's a problem. A real problem. Well, we could talk about social enterprises too, but I'm actually out of time. So it's been really nice to chat to you, Louise. Folks, have been talking to Louise Dean from TEMS, doing the Black Soldierfly Larvae Project. That's what we called the Science Night. You spoke at Science Night last night. You've obviously about to embark on some interesting real-world learning about how all that's going to go. But I keep being amazed at how perfect the fly is, or the larvae is. For it does all these things, and I didn't know it was also going to be anti-inflammatory and healthy for chickens to eat and things like that.
I think because it's a natural solution, it's it's what nature does to clean up mess.
You didn't need a team of engineers to work it out. You just found the right thing in the natural world that did the job anyway.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And from that, we've got a name now for our project, which is the Natural Organic Waste Project, or Natural Organic Waste Solutions.
Okay, so that's what people should look up instead of the soldier fly.
Yep.
Yeah.
So
Natural Organic Waste
Solutions. Now Solutions.
Okay. Yep. So yeah, remember that, folks, if you want to check that out further. Yeah. All right. Thanks for coming in, Louise.